Good morning, lovely to see you all. Do turn in your Bibles back to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, that's page 1046. And on this Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day, whatever you call it, let us ask for God's help to understand his word together now. Let's pray. Living Lord, we thank you so much that you speak through your word, as we reflect on these words of Jesus. Help us to see his glory, his call to us to come to him. We pray we'd all do that in our own way this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder what your abiding memory is of your mother. Here is me and my mum when I was very little. And this is my mum's mum, Maggie Perkins, an amazing woman. And this is my mum's mum, Sarah. And this is my mum's mum. I've lost track. How many mums are there? Many mothers in my family. And my abiding memory of my mum when I was a little boy was that she made me feel safe. She was a great comfort to me. She made me feel loved and secure. My mum did lots of things that made me feel safe and loved and secure. One was she used to tuck me into my bed. In those days, it wasn't duvets, it was a sheet and two blankets. She'd tuck me in at night. She'd also hug me and hold me and told me that she loved me. And when she did that, I felt so safe and secure and loved. That was a great start in my life. Mothers can be amazing. It's not just mums who make us feel like that. I remember one lady called Mrs. Lawrence used to come around to our house to babysit for us. She was not my mother, but loved to mother the boys, me and my brother. And she would knock on the front door, the door would open wide, she'd say, "Where are the boys?" And we'd have to line up and be hugged by her. And she always used to wear these enormous fur coats, and we kind of disappear into a coat. We were struggling for breath, but we knew she meant well. She was like a big mother hen. And lots of mums or grands or aunties are like that, aren't they? Mother hens who want to gather up their loved ones like chicks and wrap their arms around them and keep them safe. It's a glorious picture, isn't it, of a mother's love for her little ones. Now, why do chickens instinctively do that? They do, don't they? They do that. Why do they do that for their chicks? Well, they do that to keep their chicks safe from attack, to protect and save them from the attack of foxes or stoats or eagles or snakes. A mother hen instinctively wants to keep her little ones safe. Good mothers do that. Now, if your memory this morning of your mum was one where she did that for you, that is a beautiful thing. Of course, God's repeated pattern throughout creation is that mothers protect their young. So it shouldn't be a surprise us this morning that Jesus describes his compassionate love for people, for his people, like a mother's love for her young, a mother hen's love for her chicks. Did you spot that in our reading this morning, where Jesus says to his people, which are described as the city Jerusalem, the heart of the place where God's people lived, verse 34, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And he goes on and says, "How I long to gather your chicks together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." Isn't that a beautiful picture that Jesus used to describe his love for his people? Now, why does Jesus say that? How does a mother chicken's natural desire to keep her chicks safe reflect the very heart of Jesus for his people? People like you, people like me. Well, three things we're going to look at this morning as we try and understand that from this passage. The problem, the solution, and the cost. Firstly, the problem. Here's the problem that Jesus faced. Many, many people, many of God's people in Jerusalem and Israel, were rejecting Jesus as their king, as their friend. That is who Jesus is. He's the Messiah, the promised king, the one God said would come into the world to heal and to save and deliver his people eternally. And yet the problem is this. Look again at verse 34. Do you see the problem as Jesus laments his people? There's that little phrase there right at the end of verse 34. As he calls them to himself, he says, "You were not willing. You would not come to me. I long to gather you in to me, the Messiah, the Christ, but you were not willing." Extraordinary, isn't it? Jesus invites his people and all people to come to him, and so many are not willing. Why? Because their sinful hearts will not see Jesus for who he is and their need of him. The one who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," they said, "No, we're not coming." The one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me," they said, "No, we're not going to come to you." Jesus is the heart of his people in Jerusalem, and he says, "You are not willing to come to me." Imagine Mrs. Hen. She sees danger. She squawks at her chicks. A fox is coming, and they say, "No thanks, we'll be fine." What do the chicks do? The place of security and compassion is there. Why will you not run to the mother hen? That's a safe space. Come under my wings. Security, run and come to me. It'd be utterly ridiculous for these chicks to do that, wouldn't it? And that's the point. The Saviour, King Jesus, has come from his Father in heaven, and he longs for people, the Israelites, in fact, all people, to come to him, to know his love and his care and his salvation. And yet so many say, "I will not come." And you know, we can be just the same. We can think, "No, not now, not yet, no rush, no need." Friends, the fox of death and judgment and hell is coming. And we don't know when. And Jesus says, "Come to me for rescue and for refuge and salvation. Make sure you are ready to come to Jesus and trust in him." Now, the context of this passage here is back in verse 23. Do you see that? People come to Jesus and they say, in chapter 13, verse 23, someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" And Jesus replies urgently to that question, verse 24, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door." To the question, "Will only a few be saved?" Jesus says, "Make sure the saved is you. Come to me." And Jesus goes on, have a look at it. He talks about making every effort to come through the narrow door. Have a look at verse 24. "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you'll be standing outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.'" What a harrowing picture. Not let into God's kingdom forever. And the reply says, "I don't know you or where you've come from." Verse 28. "There'll be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who will be last who will be first, and first who will be last." God's people, Israel, thought, "We're just going to get in anyway." But because they would not come to Jesus, the door will be shut, and they won't be welcomed into God's eternal kingdom, into heaven. To the question, "Will the saved be few?" Jesus says, "Make sure the saved is you. Come. Come to me. Don't miss out. Don't be like those who should have known better." It's challenging, isn't it? This is addressed to God's people, Israel, who should have welcomed the King. Or we can be churchgoers, and yet we don't know Jesus. We've yet to trust him. We've yet to receive and accept this loving warning about the problem that whilst we may look like we belong, we've not yet come to Jesus. Like God's people in Jerusalem, we could be in danger of not getting what Jesus came to bring us Eternal salvation, friendship with God that starts now and goes on forever. We could, verse 35, be left desolate. God's people, Israel, had already had their kingdom taken away once and sent into exile. We know that in AD 70, God came in judgment upon Israel and destroyed the temple. They were left desolate, for they rejected the Messiah. And the problem was that they were unwilling to accept the Christ, Jesus. That's the problem. You are not willing. What is the glorious solution? Well, the solution is the loving invitation of Jesus to come to him. He longs to gather us to himself. Come to me. On this day when we remember with thanks or give thanks for mothers, we see Jesus uses this picture of a mother's love. Help us to understand his love and compassion to draw us to himself. Isn't Jesus wonderful? He wants to mother us. He wants to draw us to him. He wants us to come to him for the love and security and eternal salvation. And when we don't come to him, he feels it deeply. He laments it. He longs. The phrase 34, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, is like a lament. It's a pouring out of his heart. It's a longing. He longs for us to come to him. It bothers him when we don't. Just think of the relief of the mother hen as the chicks gather under her wings, safe at home. I was imagining my mother-in-law actually growing up in London during the war. She wasn't evacuated. And the relief her mother felt when everyone was at home, when the sirens went and they could all dive under their bomb-proof kitchen table. Everyone's in, safe. If you're your parents, you know what it's like when everyone is safely home. At the end of the day, you're glad everyone's back safe, back from school or work or college. The front door is shut and everyone has made it through another day, all safely gathered in. That is what Jesus longs for. His people safely gathered home to him. That's the heart of Jesus for us. That's the heart of God. Safely in his loving care. As prodigals return, as sinners repent and believe and hold fast to Jesus. That's Jesus' longing, friends, for us. How I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. Glorious solution, the longing of Christ to gather us to him, the invitation of Christ to come to him. But we know that's costly, don't we? Well, that's really costly for Jesus, the cost. See, surrounding this verse of longing is the cost of Jesus' love. Did you see the Pharisees who were against Jesus? Or even using the threats of Herod to try and push Jesus away, to move him on. He's an absolute pain for them. Verse 31, have a look. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. I'm sure they wouldn't have minded if Herod had killed him. They want him to move away. It's a great reason to get rid of Jesus. And this Herod here is the one who killed Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. He's pretty vicious. He had his head chopped off. And Jesus could be next. Well, take a look at what Jesus says, verse 32. I love this story. We've got chickens and foxes in one story. Great, isn't it? It's so real. Verse 32, he replied, go and tell that fox, that's Herod, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I'll reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Isn't Jesus remarkable? He is undeterred. He is determined. He is clear on his mission. He's not running away from Herod. He's walking towards, actually, his death in Jerusalem. He is committed to doing what God has called him to do. On the way, he will do what he does, what the Messiah does. He will heal and set people free from the kingdom of darkness. And then he'll go to the cross. That's his goal, isn't it? That's his mission. to be punished in our place for all our sins and the way we reject Jesus. Dying on the cross in Jerusalem, he goes towards Jerusalem. He knows the way to go. He sets his face towards it. In fact, this whole middle section of Luke is all about that, from chapter 9 to chapter 19. Luke records Jesus constantly setting his face towards his goal of going to the cross to make a place of eternal refuge and safety for sinners. And just as God's people in the past have killed the prophets who've been sent by the Lord to call his people back to him for salvation, so Jesus knows that he, verse 33, who is the prophet, God speaking, who is the priest, the king, the Son of God, will die in Jerusalem, like other messengers have in the past. So moving, isn't it? Jesus knows the hostility in the past to God's messengers, and he knows what faces him now, and he does not run away. He walks towards his love, in love for us. I run away from trouble. I go the opposite direction from danger and harm. But there is Christ walking towards the cross. What love! What cost! Like a mother hen sacrificing her safety to protect her young. So Jesus says, I long that you would come to me, to the safety and security of my wings, shelter under my cross, the place of pardon and forgiveness and safety from the storm of judgment to come. Let me love you and save you from hell to heaven, from death to life, from darkness to light, from sin and shame to cleansing and pardon. Friends, come to Jesus. I wonder, have we taken that step of faith yet today? On this day when we remember the love, the dedication, the sacrifice of human mums, Jesus, I want to be like a mother to you. Come to me for security and salvation from the storm. Run to me in your need and come to me for salvation. Imagine somebody called Lorraine, and she's gone to church all her life, but actually the first time the penny is dropping. And after attending church for many years, she's realized that she's never really known Jesus, that she's been trusting in her own resources and her own commitment to church, her own giving, all the things she did to get into heaven, and then the penny begins to drop. That actually in her life she's turned to so many different places of security and help. Her performance, her health, her family, her bank account. But now she sees actually it's just trusting in Jesus. That he loves her. That he invites her. Maybe that's like us. And today is a day when we come to Jesus for the first time. The penny has dropped. And we trust in him. Or maybe, friends, you've come to Jesus a long time ago. You've been a Christian a long, long time. Imagine somebody called Louis, and you know, in your life, like him, you've become very distracted. Everything else in life seems more important. Your clubs, your work, Sundays and prayer and Bible are being pushed out. And maybe we need a fresh reminder today of the compassionate heart of Jesus for you. Come to him afresh. He is willing and able to draw you back, to find joy and comfort and help in him. Maybe today we need to acknowledge and rejoice afresh that his love is new every morning. He welcomes us home. Come to me like a prodigal. Or maybe today we are in a storm, a real storm, real troubles, and we need to be reminded that Jesus is the place of safety, of refuge in the toughest of times. I found in the toughest parts of my life that to have Jesus is to have everything I need. What a comfort to draw near to the one who loves me, who shelters me under his wings. I don't know whether you ever saw The Crown on Netflix, the story of Queen Elizabeth, Her Majesty's life. And there was a remarkable moment all about the Aberfan disaster that happened in Wales, when a slag heap of coal dust and stones powered down a mountainside and engulfed a school where 109 children were killed and five teachers. It's a place called Pantglass Primary School. And there's a whole episode in The Crown where it remembers Queen Elizabeth going to visit that place. And she's pictured as the mother of the nation, meeting all these mothers and fathers whose children have been killed. There's an amazing moment in the film where she's sitting in Buckingham Palace after all of that, and she's got a record playing of a Welsh male voice choir singing, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last." It's a great picture of where our Queen found refuge in the toughest of times as she led our nation. And maybe you too are finding life really tough right now. Let me encourage you to come to the one who longs to draw you to himself, to find refuge in the storm. Jesus is the lover of our souls. And he's made a refuge for us to enjoy today and forever. Friends, come to Jesus for the first time, for the 100th time, for his compassionate, loving salvation. Let me pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for the love of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The way that he pictured himself like a mother hen, longing to gather us to the safety of his wings. Thank you that he is a refuge in the storm. He is the refuge eternally against judgment and sin and death. Help us to rest in him today, whatever we face, to come to him for the first time, for the 100th time, and to put our trust in him. Thank you that Jesus, the lover of our souls, may we rest in him today and love him back. In Jesus' name, amen.